Did you hear about the person who wanted a brain transplant? He changed his mind. Chapter 4. Me and You and the Mind. This brain transplant joke is not very nice, is it? But the more I thought about it, the more I recognized the profound relevance. Because I can tell you that when I get my brain transplant, I do not want to have to change my mind at all, because I will simply order a brain that is derived from my own stem cells so that it will still be my own mind. So let's get our minds right here. When I punched in the numbers and a voice on the other end chirped, "Hey there, welcome to Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny Extravaganza. What's your name?"
Yes, this is Paul Whiting. I would like to sign up for the event, blah, blah, blah.
She responded, "Have you been to this event or that event, which are their precursors to this event?"
No, I sighed. I just want to go to the Date with Destiny event.
"Well," she said, "I'm sorry, but you must first attend the precursor events so as to get your mind right."
"What the hey?" I retorted. "How do you know my mind is not right?"
"Well, you have to attend the earlier events to prepare your mind for the Date with Destiny event," she kindly responded.
I shrugged and hung up, too proud to consider that maybe my mind might not have been prepared to receive what was going to be taught. Don't be so prideful as I. Be willing to learn something new each day. Starting today. As the scripture proclaims, we must learn line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Whether we are novices or experts in alternative medicine, the truth remains. Stem cells and regenerative medicine are here to stay, leading the charge as the future of healthcare. Me and negative imagination. At midnight, while on a cruise ship in the Caribbean with my wife somewhere between Grand Cayman and Dominican Republic, my 18-year-old daughter Keisha called from her friend Sophia's phone. Startled, I awoke and answered. Heavy breathing from the other end of the phone is all I could hear. "Sophia, are you all right?" I probed. At this, my wife sprung upright in bed, pressing me. "What happened, Paul?" I put the phone on speaker and, heavy breathing, continued with intermittent sobs. No answer. After a minute of this wonderment, the line disconnected. Within such a short time, it is remarkable to note how quickly my mind, and even more so the mind of my wife, Sherry, raced toward the worst-case scenario, considering every horrible possibility. In a moment, Sherry worked herself up into a dither and dropped to her knees in prayer. Days earlier, three of Keisha's favorite Florida friends had flown out to spend the week skiing the snow-capped Utah mountains with our daughter Keisha, while Sherry and I took grandkids on vacation. Who was hurt, killed, kidnapped, or what? Unchecked, the terrifying imaginations of the mind can become overwhelming. In a moment, Sherry's phone rang from the same friend's phone. "Is this Sophia?" Sherry asked. On the other end, heavy breathing and soft sobbing. And then,
"Mom, Mom."
And once again, click. As the phone disconnected, I continued fumbling with my own phone, trying to return the call, and then finally a connection and an answer. "Dad," came the reply amidst muffled whimpering from our daughter. I responded, "Are you okay, sweetheart?"
"Not really. I can hardly breathe. The pain is so bad. I think I have refractured my tailbone. I can't move without excruciating pain."
Paramedic voices in the background hollered,
"Call the ambulance!"
2 hours later, Keisha texted me the diagnosis after 2 hours in the emergency room. Fractured tailbone and sprained pelvis. The treatment, strong pain medication, and sent home.
My wife and I sighed in relief and offered a prayer of gratitude. Me and getting my mind right. I responded via text message. Consider for yourself some of these ideas that may or may not be new for you, but hopefully still ring true. Keisha, thank you for the update of your accident and the diagnosis. Mom and I are very happy and grateful you called us and that you were able to go to the emergency room and get everything checked out. It is very important that you stay aware of all of your symptoms and ensure you get all of the rest you can. Healing can come from proper rest. At the same time, exercising, however lightly, is essential for you to heal quickly and properly. Increasing blood circulation via cold and heat will help reduce inflammation. Prayer helps more than anything else because your meditation and focus on healing stimulates your brain's healing powers. I learned in a Scientology book years ago that forgiving yourself is a key to eliminating pain. Say out loud and to yourself, tailbone, pelvis, and lower back, I'm sorry that I fell and hurt you. Please forgive me. Then listen carefully for their intelligent entities to respond. You are forgiven, Keisha. Now you can and will quickly heal in ways that will make you even stronger than before you fell. Center your prayer on the Creator, and He will respond accordingly. I have done this with very many small injuries, and it always works. I promise you that it does. Healing takes time only because we believe it does, either consciously or subconsciously. However, the Lord made the blind to see and the lame to walk in an instant. How He did it and continues to do it is not as important to know as why He does it. He heals us for the same reason He created us, because He loves us and wants us to be happy. He proclaimed that Adam fell that man might be, and men are that they might have joy. Be firm of mind and do not complain to yourself or to others. My text message never sent through. Error message. No connectivity. The writing exercise was for myself alone. Or was it? The mind is a curious and in many ways an imaginative machine that propels us forward. I just need something to look forward to, my wife will fairly often tell me. Then she will dream a small daydream, and soon her imagination creates a new reality for us, like a huge combined family, a new home in Payson, Utah, a second home in Costa Rica, or even a sustainable, credible stem cell clinic to regenerate our grandbaby's stroke-damaged brain while we retain our youthfulness so we can enjoy our 11 children and their children for at least another 78 years. Traditional medicine versus regenerative medicine. The landscape of healthcare has been predominantly shaped by traditional Western medicine, rooted in centuries of practice, research, and development. It has been the cornerstone of our understanding of disease and treatment. However, as we go further into the 21st century, a new contender has emerged, challenging and complementing the traditional. Regenerative medicine. Traditional Western medicine, the reactive approach. Traditional Western medicine operates largely on a reactive basis. When symptoms manifest, a diagnosis is made, followed by treatment aimed at alleviating these symptoms. The focus is predominantly on disease management. Thinking of it like patching up leaks in a boat, the immediate threat is addressed, but the underlying issue often remains. This approach has undeniably led to significant advances. Vaccines, antibiotics, and surgical procedures have saved countless lives. However, the system is not without its limitations. Chronic conditions, for instance, are often managed rather than cured, leading to prolonged treatments and, at times, a reduced quality of life. Regenerative medicine, the proactive paradigm. Enter regenerative medicine. A discipline that doesn't just aim to treat or manage diseases, but to rejuvenate and restore. It is akin to not just patching the boat, but redesigning it to be more resilient against future leaks. At the heart of regenerative medicine is a proactive approach. Instead of waiting for diseases to manifest, the focus shifts to harnessing the body's own mechanisms to heal and renew itself. The aim is twofold: to repair damaged tissues and, where possible, prevent diseases from taking root in the first place. Regenerative medicine symbolizes a transformative direction in healthcare, emphasizing not just the treatment, but the holistic rejuvenation of restoration of patients. Coffee et al., 2023. This approach is reminiscent of the idea that we shouldn't merely fix a leaky boat, but should redesign it entirely, ensuring it remains resilient against future damages. Core to this proactive paradigm is the aspiration to harness the body's intrinsic healing and renewing capabilities. Instead of the traditional reactive methodologies, there is a deliberate shift towards tapping into the body's inherent mechanisms to heal. The overarching aim is two-pronged. Firstly, to mend the damaged tissues, and secondly, when feasible, to preemptively intervene before diseases gain a stronghold. This proactive vision echoes with the lived experiences of patients undergoing stem cell treatments, where the transformative journey is not just about the physical repair, but also involves the emotional and psychological well-being of individuals. Such a patient-centric focus in regenerative medicine, encompassing both the physiological and psychological facets, positions the alternative medicine of US-Mexico Stem Cell Institute in the groundbreaking frontier of modern healthcare. The tools of transformation. Several groundbreaking tools underpin the promises of regenerative medicine. Stem cells. These are the body's master cells, capable of transforming into various cell types. They offer the potential to replace damaged tissues, be it in the heart, brain, or any other organ. Their versatility makes them a cornerstone of regenerative therapies. Exosomes. Tiny vesicles released by cells, exosomes play a pivotal role in cell-to-cell communication. They carry proteins, lipids, and genetic material, influencing various physiological processes. In regenerative medicine, they are seen as potential therapeutic agents, especially in modulating inflammation and promoting tissue repair. Platelet-rich plasma, PRP. Derived from a patient's own blood, PRP is rich in growth factors that can stimulate tissue repair. It has found applications in treating injuries, promoting wound healing, and even in aesthetic procedures. The comparison between traditional and regenerative medicine paints a promising picture for the future of healthcare. While conventional practices remain pivotal, the forward-thinking and rejuvenating nature of regenerative medicine provides newfound optimism for previously intractable conditions. This integrated approach merges the strengths of both realms, forging a unified path towards holistic health betterment. While traditional methods continue to play a critical role, the proactive and restorative essence of regenerative medicine offers hope for conditions previously deemed untreatable. Together, they signal a comprehensive approach to health, merging the best of both worlds for the betterment of all. How healthy can you live? The personal stake, a vision for the future. There is a certain allure in contemplating one's place in the vast tapestry of time. For many, this is a fleeting thought, a brief wonderment of what the future holds. For me, it's a driving ambition, an aspiration rooted deeply within to witness the dawn of the 22nd century. It's a bold declaration, to desire to live until age 139. Skeptics might question its feasibility, citing current life expectancies or the potential ailments of old age. Yet this ambition is not rooted in mere numbers or a simplistic desire to add years to life. It's a vision of how those years could be lived.
The very essence of this vision is vibrancy. The aspiration is not just about longevity. It's about living each year of those years with purpose, vigor, and vitality. Imagine a life where age is not a downhill slope, but a plateau of continuous exploration, learning, and growth. A life where the wisdom of years does not come with the traditional cost of physical decline. This vision is not born out of mere optimism, but it is grounded in the transformative potential of regenerative medicine. If we harness the body's innate capabilities for healing and rejuvenation, who's to say what the limits of human longevity and vitality might be? But let's clarify. The objective here is not to chase immortality or a mythical fountain of youth. It's about redefining aging, reshaping our expectations of our later years. The narrative has always been linear, youth to old age, vigor to frailty. But what if we could change that narrative? What if our later years could be marked by strength, health, and continuous discovery? In this vision of the future, age becomes just a number, a mere indicator, and not a determinant of capability or vitality. The core of this aspiration is to live life to its fullest, not merely to extend its duration. As we venture deeper into the regeneration revolution, I firmly believe that such a vision is not just a distant dream, but a tangible possibility. It beckons a future where we are not bound by traditional constraints of age, but liberated by the potential of modern science and medicine. Oh, I almost forgot. To ensure that you're not left in suspense regarding our 18-year-old daughter Keisha, who called us in the middle of the night after breaking her tailbone on the ski slopes, let me share an update. Keisha had previously suffered a tailbone fracture as a child after falling from the neighbor's treehouse. This injury troubled her for years, especially during her teenage dance competitions. The problem resurfaced when she fractured it again on the ski slope. A month after the second accident, we visited the U.S.-Mexico Stem Cell Institute in Tijuana, Mexico, where she received an IV of 50 million stem cells. Remarkably, within just 4 weeks, she completely healed, with none of the recurring pain that had plagued her for so long. Currently, she's walking several miles a day on a volunteer mission in Merida, Mexico, for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. During our weekly calls, I always inquire about her tailbone. She joyfully responds, "It's completely better, Dad."